My kind of next door neighbor, Emma Norton. I almost
Thank
thought he
you,
had a
Carol.
sale.
Good to see you too. It's quite nice for me to stand.
You're right here.
Right here.
And the reason being, I didn't get a chance to show you before, but this little circle here, you're talking to Italy too.
Oh my gosh. I wish I knew any Italian. Hello.
She's waving at you.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you so much for that kind introduction, Carol. It is so nice to see you in person. And I was just visiting my grandmother last weekend and we were talking about you. So yeah. And thank you so much for the invitation to be here today. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with such a group of strong, dynamic women who share my passion for change, as I understand Zonta to be. So I'm about to share a cause that stirs so much passion in me that I actually walked away earlier this year from a well-paying job with the David Suzuki Institute to pursue this cause and start my own nonprofit about it. Well, and you might ask, what is it? It is deep retrofits, which might be a bit of a jargony or new term to you, but I'll explain what that is in a moment here. It is because we have an urgent need to combat climate change and improve people's lives, especially those in poverty and underrepresented groups. Can you give me the next slide, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. So our world faces a massive challenge in the form of climate change, and buildings play a significant role in contributing to it. So here are some very powerful statistics. Globally, buildings contribute 28% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. And in Canada, it's about 13%. In the States, it's about the same. I'm sorry to say, I don't know what it is in Italy. And in Nova Scotia, buildings make up about 42% of our greenhouse gases or carbon pollution. And in Halifax specifically, 2/3. So the situation is particularly dire here. And we know that in 2050, which is the year that we are aiming to be at net zero globally, we need about 75% of the buildings that are currently standing today will still be standing. So that just puts into perspective the urgency of making today's existing building stock net zero or totally reducing their carbon emissions. And I also don't want to overlook embodied carbon. So embodied carbon is the carbon footprint of materials and energy used during construction and the entire life cycle of the building. And due to the limited time we have available to curb global temperature rise, energy efficiency measures that reduce emissions over the life of a building can be impactful, and they are. But actions that avoid carbon emissions now through implementing retrofit solutions that use low carbon and local materials can be just as, if not more, impactful. And that's often lost in the conversation around energy efficiency. So materials with high embodied carbon include things like concrete, foam, which is a petroleum product, excuse me, and low embodied carbon would be like wood from a local wood mill. There's cellulose insulation, which is very, very popular amongst retrofit. I'm gonna call myself a nerd, retrofit nerds like myself. And cellulose is made out of recycled paper. So it's a really great, excellent way to insulate your home. And is actually very fire retardant. So like I said, to meet our climate goals, all buildings must be net zero by 2050, but we are hearing from UN Secretary General that Canada and the States should be aiming for closer to 2040. So the urgency is really, really putting fire to our feet. And you might think, well, why not just tear down and build all new net zero buildings? Well, the reason is there's a very high carbon impact to building all new, like I just talked about the embodied carbon, but also that would cost $8 trillion in Canada compared to just retrofitting them, which is still a high price tag, but it's about $765 billion, still a lot, but that's 11,000 times less than the $8 trillion. So I just think that starting new and building new is a non-starter. So how are we going to do that? What are retrofits and how do we transition our homes, offices, hospitals, and fire halls to carbon neutral havens within the next 2 decades, 1.5 decades? So right here, I have an image of a deep retrofit that was recently performed in Ottawa, at Ottawa Community Housing, so in their social housing. And the smaller picture is before, the bigger picture is after. I wish that it was sunny on the after picture and gray and overcast in the before picture. But what I'm trying to demonstrate here is that this has been done. The buildings can look nice after. And if you're from, I know a lot of you are from the East Coast. And so you would like me might look at this and say, it'd be nice if that was a little bit more colorful. When I was talking to the designer, he said the architect wanted to make it 4 different colors. And we were like, no way. And I was like, that would have been really good in Halifax. We love our colorful homes. But what they do here, the purpose of a deep retrofit is to reduce the energy consumption of a building by 50% or more, and to also reduce its carbon emissions by 70% or more. And you do that by making the building more airtight, adding insulation, giving it a new heating and cooling system, and when possible, adding renewable energy. All of those things that they did here, you can see the solar panels on the roof. And in this particular case, the reason I like to highlight this is because they made sure that the tenants that live in this building stay in place. Because as we know, we have a homelessness crisis right now. And it's very easy for a landlord to want to do good and renovate a building and make it more energy efficient and in the process renovate the people that live there. But it's also important that we don't do that because climate solutions need to be social solutions too. So in this case, the tenants were able to stay in place because all of that new siding and those walls that you see, they actually just built those walls off-site and then stuck them to the side of the building. It was a very, very low intrusive retrofit. I had an office that I lived in, that I was working in. Well, you're almost living when you're working in a place, right? That I worked in where we did a deep retrofit, but we had to actually move all of our staff for 9 months, which isn't really a scalable solution if we need to do this to 75% of our building stock. So I do want to acknowledge that there's actually very few deep retrofit examples in Canada. You can go to retrofitcanada.ca to see some examples from across the country, but there are places across Europe that are scaling deep retrofits, and New York State is doing it also. And very, very recently, like earlier this year, the federal government announced hundreds of millions of dollars to create a deep retrofit, several deep retrofit accelerators across the country so that we can scale this very important green technology. So do you mind moving to the next slide, please? So deep retrofits, they're not just about climate. They are also about people. So I got involved in climate change because it's a long and winding story that I don't think I'm gonna take too much of your time to explain, but I started because I was interested in eliminating poverty. And I came to understand the root causes of poverty are also the root causes of climate change, and they're very connected. And impoverished people in the world are even more impacted by climate change, and this is an urgent issue that we need to deal with right away. And here in Atlantic Canada, did you know that 1 in 3 households live in energy poverty? So that means that 1 in 3 households have to choose between heating or cooling their home properly and putting food on the table or getting medication. And one of the things that retrofits can do is help reduce the energy bills for those that live in those homes. A paper published by Reba et al. In 2021 called Energy Poverty in Canada, Prevalence, Social and Spatial Distribution and Implications for Research and Policy found that women experience a higher degree of energy poverty. And they also stated that ultimately, exposure to energy poverty can compromise health. International evidence shows that exposure to energy poverty is associated with exacerbating certain chronic illnesses, poorer mental health outcomes, and an increased risk of cardiovascular and respiratory diseases, hospitalizations, and mortality. So prioritizing deep retrofits for the homes where there is the most need because of energy poverty would reduce their energy bills and also create more comfortable homes. I've heard stories of low-income homeowners here in Nova Scotia that prior to receiving a deep retrofit, it was they had to keep their home at such a low temperature that their cat's water bowl was freezing.
And so they
after receiving it, they called up the contractor and they were in tears saying, "You've totally changed my life," just to show the difference in comfort. And also, by initiating deep retrofit programs in homes and buildings that are in the worst condition, we address multiple challenges simultaneously. Because the most compelling case for deep retrofits is in properties where they have the highest maintenance backlog. So the buildings that are in the worst shape actually make the best financial business case for investing in deep retrofits. So I've addressed reducing energy poverty, improved comfort. Deep retrofits also save lives. Just 2 years ago, we had the heat dome in BC. 600 people unfortunately died because of the extreme heat. But if those people had had heat pumps in their homes and a super well-insulated envelope, they would probably still be with us today. And because deep retrofits lead to buildings, whether they're offices or homes, with very high performance building envelopes, meaning the walls are very well insulated and airtight, it takes a much longer time for them to cool down in the winter. You can go without a heat source in a home like this for 4 days. And wow. Similarly, in the summer, it can help keep you cool. I know for us, we often think about staying warm, but as the summers get hotter and hotter, we're starting to think about staying cool also. I also want to talk about, there's a myth that I hear a lot that says, but my house needs to breathe. And deep retrofits actually address this. So modern ventilation systems provide efficient and healthy air circulation. And rather than your home breathing through the walls, which brings in mold spores, moisture, and by using a controlled air ventilation system, you can actually filter out contaminants, and you might actually have a healthier air inside your home, depending on where you are, than outside your home. So they also increase air quality. And several studies across Canada have shown that people that live in buildings that are super high performing or super energy proficient, they actually perform better. And go to the next slide, please. This is Judy and Francis. I love putting a human face on the stories I'm telling. So Judy and Francis were one of the couples that had received a deep retrofit here in Nova Scotia. Of course, they've agreed to have their story told. They used to use Kleenex and newspaper to seal gaps in their homes, but their heating bills continued to soar. And with no insulation, the basement was practically unusable. They actually had to put on their coats and their boots to put wood into their wood stove in the winter. But Judy applied for the homewarming program, which is the retrofit program here in Nova Scotia for low-income homeowners. And they had their home upgraded for free. And now they use their basement for hobbies. And they're just a great living example of how deep retrofits can change lives. Thank you. All right. So with all these grinning faces, although I did notice there's one person in this picture that's not grinning, but
we'll try to find it.
You can find her. But, you know, I said, okay, so we've got deep retrofits. They're great for climate change. They're great for people and health and reducing poverty, but they're also very good for the economy. They stimulate economic growth by creating jobs in construction, manufacturing, and energy sectors. And in fact, they already, green building the industry, creates more jobs in Canada. Sorry. Despite this being the second time I've given this talk today, I'm having the afternoon brain. The green building industry actually has more people in it than all the extractive industries in Canada combined, which is not a number you hear often. Also, per $1 million spent, it's actually a better investment for job creation than all the other energy sectors, be it renewable energy or more conventional energy sources like oil and gas. I also want to point out that if we made the investments that I'm talking about today and we scaled up our programs, to give you some level of the scale that we need to do to achieve our climate goals, we need to we currently retrofit 1% of our building stock, and we need to ramp it up to 5% of our building stock annually if we're going to hit our 2050 goals. But if we're going to hit our 2040, 2035 goals that we've been encouraged to, we need to retrofit 12% of our building stock every year.
Wow.
And it's doable. I believe in us. We've done monumental things before. But that would create what we imagine to be about 200,000 jobs a year. We know that NYSERDA, the climate program in New York State that's rolling out deep retrofits, imagines that they, for every one job lost because of the energy transition that we need to go through for climate change, they are going to create 10 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's a very good news story here. Go to the next slide, please.
Sure.
Thank you. That's what I think makes deep retrofits truly remarkable. I believe they can unify our efforts to combat climate change. We spend approximately 90% of our time indoors. So improving our building stock benefits all of us. It's not like some other more divisive issues like electric vehicles or bike lanes. Each one of us will be directly impacted by this. So implementing deep retrofits in regions or neighborhoods where people might be more resistant to other climate policies can help bridge some currently partisan gaps and help bring us together. Imagine if we could implement deep retrofits in areas of Canada and the United States that are hesitant to support climate policies. This strategic approach actually has been employed in social program rollout across in other areas, and it's been able to build momentum for policies that are good for the greater good. Next slide, please. So this is why my team and I founded Recover. We're a majority women-led nonprofit. Nick is there, Nick is great, but Lori and I do a lot of the work.
So I can do both.
So we're focused on scaling up deep retrofits across Atlantic Canada. We call ourselves a deep retrofit accelerator. And that means we're focusing on research and development. We're focusing on outreach to property owners and doing research with them and marketing, creating financial tools with financial institutions like credit unions, and training. There's so much training that needs to happen. We're also developing some really excellent software to help streamline the process of designing deep retrofits. And one of the projects I'm most proud of, because I really like to find the ways where we can intersect social and climate crises, where we've created a job shop, we've created in partnership with the local nonprofit One North End, a job shadowing program for African Nova Scotians, where there's currently a much higher unemployment gap for youth in particular, but even more so for Red Seal certified carpenters and tradespeople. Which surprised me, actually. So I want to say that our work extends far beyond bricks and mortar. Recover envisions a future where women are at the forefront of transforming buildings into energy efficient, climate resilient structures. We want to create long-lasting, well-paying jobs and also, of course, promote sustainable practices. Can we go to the next slide, please? Sure. And I wanted, because of who you are, who we are, to bring it back to women. We actually know that women are very, very underrepresented in this industry, which is one of the reasons I'm very proud of Recover. Only about 1/5 of the workers in the energy efficiency field report to be female. So a lot of the trades, a lot of the jobs that are part of this field, it's construction, architecture, engineering, a lot of STEM. I think this goes without saying that these are jobs which continue to be dominated by men. And so we hope that by attracting women to these industries, we can not only accelerate the deep retrofit movement, but we can help make sure that our buildings and designs are more inclusive and consider the unique needs of women. For example, I'm sure someone in this room knows this. Did you know that the 21 degrees Celsius comfort temperature that we all use was actually based on the ideal comfort for a 45-year-old man who weighs 154 pounds. I mean, that's why I think I'm always cold. And why are there always more lines in women's bathrooms?
Yeah.
Because we have more reasons to need to go to the bathroom, but all the codes and buildings, or the majority of them, were designed by men. If we can get more women into these industries, we're going to end up with safer, more accessible, and more comfortable homes, because retrofits aren't just about the energy efficiency. Like I said, if you have a big maintenance backlog, you're going to group together the envelope and the mechanical upgrades with the bathroom upgrades or the lighting upgrades. So you can do it all at once. There are 5 initiatives in Canada that are helping to bring more women into the industry, and they're actually on the next slide here. So we've got Equal by 30. This is attempting to have 50% of leadership positions within organizations filled by women, and make sure that pay scales are identified. So making sure that the transparency of the pay scales within the organization allows for women to be able to advocate for themselves getting paid equal to. The Leadership Accord on Gender Diversity. This is a public commitment by Canadian employers, educators, unions, and government to promote gender diversity within their organizations. Women and Renewable Energy, WIRE, focuses on renewable energy, like it says, but also energy efficiency. And the hope is to get more women just to get involved in renewable energy and clean technologies. They have capacity building field trips, network meetups, and also award recognition programs. The Step Up program here is trying to have more women advance to the C-suite and board positions within the energy industry. And the 50-30 challenge encourages employers to have at least 50% gender parity in their organizations, and also 30% representing other diversities, racialized, LGBTQ+. So these are all really great organizations to support and name. So that's it. I have a final slide here. As we wrap up our exploration of deep retrofits, the thing that I love very much, we discovered that there is a profound connection between climate action, job creation, and gender equality. Our buildings, like I said, are a significant source of greenhouse gas emissions, and they need to be net zero by 2040. The answer lies in deep retrofits, which can reduce energy use by over 50%, making our buildings resilient to climate change. I really believe that this dual transformation of our buildings and workforce will create a tapestry of resilience, equity, and progress. I'm very excited to be talking about it with you today. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. And thanks for providing me this opportunity.